Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Late Night Leos. This is your host, Morgan Beebe from Thor Gecko. I'm not sure if I'm going to have a co-host tonight or any callers. People are saying that the phone number that Blog Talk gave us, they re-registered us with a phone number. It's 215-383-3704. I've got my phone live right now in the studio. I'm doing this all from my phone, so bear with me if the reception goes out or whatever, but I was talking to Josh Hawley from Hawley's Homebred Reptiles, really great store up in Spokane, Washington. Josh is also a leopard gecko breeder, and now he's got all kinds of stuff that he ships all over the U.S., but he was saying that the phone number is not working, or it was wrong, or something like that. So I keep refreshing the studio page. Maybe we'll get some callers. Who knows? I mean, if you guys are listening on your computers, that's cool, too. I'm just going to be cleaning leopard geckos while I'm talking about this. I actually, tonight, just got my first eggs of 2018. So, yeah. I know it's Saturday, November 11th, 2017, but this little baby is going to be... This will be part of the 2018 group. It is, what are you? I think it's an Emmergreen from Brian at Zoo Guy Geckos crossed to a cross-eyed Sunglow that I got a few years ago from Brian. So that's going to be super, super cool. First egg of 2018. So tonight's show is all about making money breeding leopard geckos. Now, this is something, of course, that they tell you in those gecko groups that you can't do. I mean, they say if you're in it for the money, then you better get out. But those people aren't telling you that, you know, they're making quite a bit of money on theirs. So here we go. I finally got somebody. Caller from the 530, you're on the air.
Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
Good. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Been a long time since you did a show, man.
Yeah. And just so everybody knows, this is Jeff Scott from Megalia Gecko Project. Jeff's been a co-host for longer than I can remember.
Yeah. A little while.
Yeah. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing good over here in Megalia. A little bit of rain this week.
Oh, yeah. We've been having crazy rain here, too. So, Jeff, tonight's episode is all about how to make money breeding leopard geckos and little tips and tricks. I mean, a lot of the people start out, you know, they don't want to spend thousands of dollars. So something that I learned actually from Pat Klein, who used to own Luxurious Leopards, is the buying het. Like things that are triple het for animals and creating the visuals the following year. Is that something that you do with your guys?
Yeah, I have. In the beginning,
yeah.
I kind of did that. Now I make my own hets. It's a little safer, but yeah, if you buy something 100% het eclipse and breed it to an eclipse, you're going to get more eclipse.
Yeah. I like to think that happens sometimes.
Yeah. No, if you breed to a visual, you'll hit, you know, you'll hit with the recessives. Nothing wrong with that. I like to make my own with kind of what I've been working with and have here now.
But, yeah.
You know, or buy a subspecies and breed your visual to that, and then the offspring back to the visual.
Yeah, definitely.
That way you know what's going into it, or you have a better idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know sometimes it's hard for people, you know, they go out to places like Petco and buy them there and breed, and then they have no idea what they're hatching out.
Yeah, and then they put it up for sale, and, you know, people ask questions, and, you know, they're kind of stuck with pet pay quality geckos that, you know, even those will sell at a show for, you know, $20 or something. But
oh yeah,
for you to get a $20 return, you know, it's going to cost you, you know, $50 to feed it and raise it to that size.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
That's always fun.
Yeah, you know, and shows is another, I mean, since we're on the topic of shows is great for people to get their name out there and to, I mean, unload a lot of geckos. I know, didn't you just do a show?
Yeah, I did a Chico show, and it's kind of a smaller show, but I did really good this year.
Cool.
I took 24, 25 geckos, and I know I only came home with 5, so that was just, you know, and it's close to me, so I don't have the expense of, you know, great big fuel bill, you know, hotels, food, you know, all of that. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I had all of that going to the Vegas show.
Yeah, I really wanted to do that one, just, you know, just to do it.
Yeah, it was so great. It was a great show.
Yeah, from the pictures posted, I see that there was quite a few people going through the doors.
Yeah, it was a lot bigger than I thought. But, I mean, Vegas has over 2 million people in the area.
Yeah, they're all just condensed right there.
Next year you should definitely go.
Yeah, I got a plan doing one of them. It was just a really weird year this year.
Yeah.
Had a whole lot going
on.
Oh,
yeah.
I notice with that when I take pictures and post them and, like, update my site, which, oh, God, I hardly ever do.
Yeah.
Lately, I sell a whole lot more.
Yeah. Well, there's something to that posting stuff for sale where it actually, you know, people see the new stuff.
Sooner or later, someone's going to, you know, it's going to pique somebody's interest. It's going to catch someone's eye, and that's what they're working on, and that's what they want, and... That's the big thing. Or at least showing off what you have. You don't even have to post it yourself.
A lot of times when you just post stuff just to show it off, everybody asks you how much it is.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of why I haven't posted stuff lately, because I'm deciding what to hold back and turn into a hoarder after a while.
Well, I noticed that a lot of people are selling off most of their collections again now that it's getting towards the end of the year.
Yeah, it's, you know, people are making room for their stuff, you know, for next year's, for next year's crop. You know, it's a lot of people getting out of it, and they just, I don't know, they just kind of throw it out there and take pennies on it.
Yeah.
Which...
Oh yeah,
it's not. I mean, it's good and it's bad. It's good for the people getting the good deals, but it's kind of bad for everybody else that's, you know, trying to keep their head above water doing it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm guilty of doing wholesale and just, you know, clearing out a whole rack into a box and saying, "Here you go."
Yeah.
I mean.
Same here.
I mean, this year I've had, like, medical issues where, I mean, I can't take care of this stuff. And I got surgery coming up in January where I'm looking at, you know, not being able to take care of them for a couple of weeks. So.
Yeah, no, I know. I've seen that. You posted stuff online. That's,
That's
crazy stuff, man. Ain't none of us getting any younger.
I know. I'm going to be training my wife how to take care of the gecko.
Well, that's cool. Share a common interest.
Yeah, well, no. I don't want that. But, I mean, a little interested is okay.
Yeah. I'm lucky that way because, she, you know, she likes them. She thinks they're cute or whatever. I'll hit something really neat that I've been trying for years, and I'll bring it out and show it to her. And she, oh, how cute. But this is a blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah.
Does it scream? Let me touch it.
That's the perfect, that's like what I have too, and that's perfect. I mean, I've dated people that like geckos, and then it's like, I buy all the ones I want, and then she buys all the ones she wants, and then there's all these geckos.
Yeah. I can see where that would, I kind of like being the only one going in the gecko room.
Yeah, oh, definitely. But hey, Jeff, we've got some callers, so you want to take some callers?
Sure, let's take like a whole bunch of callers.
Okay, all right, here we'll go for, one at a time, one at a time.
Okay.
All right, caller from the 509, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
how's it going? Who is this?
It's Sasha and Josh.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
The Hollies.
The Hollies.
Josh
just
said no.
About you.
He said no, it's all me. No,
which,
I'm just
which
listening
phone number did
and see
you
how
get?
You guys doing.
Oh, okay.
This is mine. So at the 215?
Oh, yeah, so it does work?
It does.
The one on the one I shared, like on my personal page, if you click on that, that number's good. The one you did in the bestest gecko group or whatever.
Oh,
that
really?
That one was no good.
Oh, or, no good
or,
or
I dialed wrong. I think I got a fax machine.
All right, let's fax machine. Let's take the next caller. Caller from the 601, you're on the air.
Hey, Morgan, it's Lance, down in Miss South Mississippi.
Hey, Lance, how's it going? Good, how
man,
you doing, man?
It's cool. I'm actually in East Texas tonight doing some early holiday stuff, but I knew y'all were coming on, so I'm staying up, talk to you guys.
Yeah,
What I wanted to kind of go ahead and get the ball rolling on is, I've been doing it for a little while, and I finally made, the commitment to get to this more, I don't want to say professionally, but more or full time, because, you have a full time job, but more of, more, not just as a hobbyist. And one of the things that I've kind of learned, and y'all, I'd love to hear you elaborate more, is being efficient. And I think that's one of the most overlooked things in this hobby.
Excellent.
And it comes to, feeding, being efficient on shipping, I don't know how many people can grow their own feeders or anything like that, but, I grow all of my feeders, and that saves on my shipping and cost, because that's a big overhead. And then not only that, I come from a sales background, and, you've got to find your niche. You've got to find what's working in the hobby over the period in and stay in that lane. And then not only that, it's hard to get your name out there. So once you find your little circle there, being able to efficiently work with them and, cut back shipping, that's the biggest that you hear from your small, everyday buyer. Is, oh, I can do this, but the shipping is, it's like that $50 is going to just throw the curveball in there and makes the big swing miss. But I don't know. What do y'all think? I mean, any pointers on that,
shipping can be a deal killer.
shipping is probably the
efficiency
biggest deal
tips
killer.
On that? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
As far as efficiency, I mean, there are things you can do. Like, you can call up Debbie Price at, where is she, Jeff? Reptiles to You, is that right?
Reptiles to You, yeah.
She is really good on shipping, the best. I just switched over to her, a while ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you save, $10 or $12 every time you ship, it adds up. And plus, you're passing it on to the consumer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and also, you could get a bulk discount, I think, with her. I don't know if she does that. I know Ship Your Reptiles does a bulk discount. If you ship, like, you know, I don't know, maybe like 20 to 100 geckos a year. But my main thing is, you know, you say $50 shipping, but where I live, it can be like $75 to $125 because I have to pay an extra box fee for them to drive it to the airport that flies it to Sacramento, then it goes to Memphis, and then it goes wherever it goes. So,
yeah,
I mean,
even if you ship to Oregon.
Also. Yeah, right? Even if I ship to Oregon, it goes all the way doing all that to Memphis, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. We're going to buy FedEx a map one of these days.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know, so location's going to be a big, huge thing.
Yeah. I know that where I'm at, up here, FedEx doesn't recognize it, so I have to use a Chico zip code or something. I don't know. I got to do something weird.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I do the exact same.
Yeah. And feeders,
I mean,
raise your own feeders. That's great. I got Dubia roach colony going, and that saves me sometimes.
Oh yeah.
You know, if mealworm orders get delayed or whatever, or I forget to order and it's a 3-day holiday.
And I
found
this too.
Yep.
If I'm still on, you know, if you get on Facebook and find mealworm breeders or people that raise mealworms that are fairly close to you, you may be able to drive and pick up an order if you trust them that they've been doing it for a while. And you know, I've got a couple not too far that, you know, sometimes I like to bring in some fresh, or you know, just something a little different to what I breed. And it makes, you know, you can call Rainbow, and they're not bad on shipping, but, you know, if you can just make
a 15-minute
drive, it's so much easier.
I have noticed that Rainbow went from about $12 to $19 to ship 2,000 superworms lately for me. So
they went up.
The shipping's gone up.
Yeah, the shipping's gone up for me, too. And we have it easy here in California. The people back east and whatnot, their shipping has doubled, or from what I've seen.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know,
also when you're on the topic of feeders, what you can also do is get one of those big wholesale shipments from Rainbow. You know, get 50,000 mealworms, get like 10,000 superworms, and then you can go around in your neighborhood, you know, or whatever on Craigslist, and you can charge half the price of whatever your pet store charges and still make a profit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've kind of been networking with local people and kind of working towards that. And it's still time, and sometimes it's just easier to pay extra, whatever. But, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I get that it's time, but I also feel like as far as, you know, thinking about how much companies spend on advertising, but if you're doing that, like, you can count all of that as advertising, because those people might just have a couple of geckos or a bearded dragon and they want to get into geckos. And that's really how I hit real good in my area, is through selling, you know, feeders and doing the whole Craigslist thing again. I mean, I haven't done that in over 10 years, but it's a big thing again.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at Craigslist lately.
Oh, that's great.
Well, probably afraid I'm going to buy something.
Well,
yeah.
Tell me the versus, or if I'm still on, tell me the versus on breeding to the market and breeding to what you like, what a breeder might like or a hobbyist might like personally. You know, that you know, breeding, you know, so let's say the white and yellows right now, you know, seem to be kind of the hot item. Does a new hobbyist need to just jump right in because that's what's selling, or stay in a lane that you're more comfortable with or what you like and perfect that and try to move that? You know, what's the versus on that? What is
it's kind of subjective. I breed what I like. I don't really pay that much. I mean, I look at the market and I look at all the cool stuff out there, but I try to focus on what I like and what I've already started, you know, 7-8 years ago. I love white and yellows. I have a bunch. Go ahead, Morgan. You're going to say something. I kind of jumped in there.
I mean, I hate orange geckos, and that's like what everybody likes. Everybody likes orange geckos, and I hate them. I like the fasciolatus crosses where it's like real pastel and doled out colors. I mean, I don't want something that looks like an Easter egg or some kind of rubber ducky. You know what I mean? So
no plastic.
It's really hard for me. Yeah, right? They look ridiculous. But that's so hard because I like this gecko that is like super dull and lavender and white. And then you can't sell them as well as you can like a solid orange gecko. And
yeah, very
right.
True.
That's the difference that I'm talking about, the marketability that you're breeding for, or do you just stay in the lane that you like and just go with it? You know, what is the advantages of both? What's the disadvantage of both? You know,
well,
to a new breeder, you know, somebody that may be coming into the market and looking at it at what it is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think that a really good idea is looking at like a car lot. You know, say a Chevy dealer. They love Corvettes and Camaros, but they're going to sell that little hybrid too because, you know, they might hate it and it takes up a parking spot, but somebody's going to want that thing, no matter how hideous it looks, you know, to them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's hit or miss, man. You got to kind of, you know, throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
I bring a selection to shows, and the tangerine stuff sells fast.
Yeah.
I like the hypo tangerine look, the really orange. I really like what Morgan doesn't like.
Yeah.
But no, and they'll sell fast at shows around here anyway. When I got into it, and even now, that's not my main objective of making money at it. If I make enough to stay afloat and keep alive in the hobby, I'm happy.
Yeah.
No, I think that's the attitude you have to have going into it, or you're going to get discouraged when you don't make $2,000 off your first show or something.
Yeah, and see, that's another thing, too, is variety is going to bring, you know, like I was saying at the beginning of the show, I always tell new people to get Het. Like, buy an Eclipse Het for Dabble Blanco or, you know, a Blizzard Het for whatever, and then you breed those together and you're going to get a whole huge variety. You can keep the Aftermath, like whatever the Megamorph is that you got, and sell all the other separate things because you're going to get Trempers and Raptors and Blizzards and, you know, you might not like that, but somebody else does. So,
oh,
variety.
Yeah, yeah, and that's another way to get your feet wet of how the Hets work. And, I mean, you can read up on you know, Mendel's laws of inheritance and blah, blah, blah. But once you start working with them, you're going to see how it works.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people find out that geckos are outlaws and they don't really follow all the laws.
Yeah, it's more of a theory of inheritability, but yeah, all the percentages on the morph calculators, you know, that's just a guide. It's a great guide, but in theory, and it's based on 100 animals, but
yeah.
So, yeah, no, the hets are fun. I know I made Raptor Hets. I did Trimper Eclipse. You know how I feel about marketing names.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I made the Trimper Eclipse Hets, and then I made, you know, basically Raptors out of them. You know,
you brought up something that's really important, I think, is the marketing. You know, like you say, you don't like the marketing. It's, you know, it's going that way, you know, and I don't know how many years it's been moving that way. I'm sure it has for several years.
Oh, since the beginning, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, it's just going to be part of it. And I think that's, you know, people get to where they need to unload and try to find the quickest way to do it. And, yeah, I understand
yeah.
the marketing ploy of it. Not a big fan, but I understand it.
Yeah, no, I see what they're doing, but it's just, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's just not ethical. You know,
it's great. It's great money
making. It's deceitful.
Yes. It's business.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of why I like the hobby end of it, where I don't have to rely on, you know, I got to sell this gecko this week to, you know, pay the PG&E bill or, you know, pay the water bill or
yeah.
eat. You know, so it's, I like not having that pressure, you know.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't, then I'm not tainted by what I need to do, or I got to change the name to make it sound cooler, or, you know, it's just, you know, like with the landscape business, I got to go out there and sell a lot of times, and I got to do the work, and, you know, and
yeah.
you got to hard sell people sometimes. I don't like to do that. It's just, you know, too businessy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you see, you know, things put on there like super extreme glowing plasma.
you gotta be careful, Jeff, on what names you say.
I know.
you don't want to say something like Vermilion and then have all the Euros coming after you.
Yeah. No, and I like all of them. All of those. What's his name? I don't want to name drop, but yeah,
Jeremy?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, Jeremy, there he is. Over in Europe, France, or something like that. Yeah, no, he has some neat stuff. He's been at it for a long time. You know? So if he wants to throw a name on it, then, you know, hey. You know?
Yeah.
I'm just a little guy here in the Sierras, Northern California.
Yeah. Was that all the questions? I feel like we're missing something.
I don't know.
Lance, was there?
That's all I had, man. I was just...
Yeah. I don't know how much help it was.
No.
I think you got to find your own, like you said, your own niche, what makes you happy. And if you start advertising, you know, if you start putting up pictures of shrimp or albinos of whatever, someone's going to message you and say, hey, do you have any bells?
Yeah.
Or do you have any rainwaters?
And then what they're going to do is they're going to ask you for pictures and lineage and string you on for 6 months.
Yeah,
but
there
eventually
you go.
You'll get somebody that really wants to buy that animal, eventually.
You know, and a lot of the questions I ask, I know the answer to my specific geographic area, and because I know that can be, that differs in some, you know, in some areas, especially what shows come through, what do you have available to you. I just thought it might help some people, you know. For me, it's efficiency, and that may be
exactly.
my corporate background, you know, my corporate background in my full-time job that I kind of roll over into my hobby. So, you know, when you want to make money, you have to cut back your overhead, and that's just simple economics. You know,
production,
and you want to make money
overhead.
Not so much as just to be a gecko, you know, just I'm breeding hundreds just to sell hundreds. It's more of, you know, you want to be able to sustain what you're doing. And, You know, I mean, you've got to be efficient and do it. It is a small business, in a sense, for most hobbies.
Yeah.
And
sustainability is
yeah.
huge. That's why you
yeah.
see a lot of people that just get out because, you know, it's like they bit off more than they can chew or more than they want to put into it. Or it's like anything else. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. I know my
yeah.
the way I do things – as far as cleaning tubs and gut loading and just everything about it has changed as I get more and more into it, maybe more and more geckos. You know, I've had to build more racks. I've had to change the way I clean bins and organize things and labeling bins, backup notebooks with written, you know, records. I mean, it's all constantly fine-tuning what's already going on. You know, that's a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another
yeah,
thing I think is racks, you know. If you can find a used rack, you're going to cut back on your cost, too, because, I mean, I've spent thousands on racks, and I wish I hadn't now.
Yeah, I make my own because the geckos don't mind
yeah.
if it's only plywood.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And
I've had a complaint.
A couple breeders, and see their setups, and you know there are all types. You know, it's just according
yeah.
to what your preference is.
Yeah,
so,
and then
oh yeah.
No, I see some people's gecko rooms that are just, you know, it's like a library. You know, with books on the shelves and all the bins and everything's in order. And I mean, mine's like that. It's just not pretty, like, you know, with the, what is the, what is that, Marlite
PVC?
Now? Yeah, with the PVC racks and, yeah,
yeah.
all the bins are all the same size. And, you know, it don't matter how you set it up as long as you keep track of things.
And you don't burn your house down.
Yeah,
that's a big
yeah,
tree there.
I know. I just ordered more Herbstat temperature probes. I'm going to change
yeah.
a few of them out that I've had going for 3 years or something, and it's like, you know, I think it was last year I had a temperature probe go out in a incubator, and I had a whole bunch of eggs in there that was, you know, a lot of them were the only ones for part of a project I've been working on, and, you know, lost a lot of stuff, so this year was kind of catch up with some of it.
Yeah. Yeah, we lost a lot of geckos the last couple of years. So the thermostats finally started just conking out one right after another.
Yeah. See, that kind of stuff, you know, that'll eat up your profit, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you lose,
and that's,
like,
that's
seven
not even
animals.
The main thing. It's yeah, and it, yeah, and then your project, it sets you behind on stuff, too.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully you have enough to save what you have going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now what I do is I split up everything. Each rack has, like, a male and female from each project.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, and putting all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's another good point. Learned by oopsies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think all it is oopsies. I mean, until you get, you know, 10, 15, 20 years into it.
Yeah. And even then, you're still going to learn. I hope so. I think this
yeah.
is my eighth year. Stay into my eighth year of breeding.
Wow.
But, and I'm still learning. You know, so.
Yeah.
It's not a mistake until I don't learn from it. So,
right,
yeah.
Did you have any other questions, Lance?
Man, that's it. Y'all can cut me off.
All right, thanks for calling in, man.
We can keep going or whatever. I can think of something.
No, good.
Well, we're actually at the end of our 30 minutes, so we do have to cut it off and flush. So thank you guys for calling in, and hopefully it's going to be the next show is the weekend, the Saturday after Thanksgiving is going to be our 9th anniversary for Late Night Leos. So I hope you guys call in and listen and say hello or whatever, but yeah, it should be fun. It'll be another great little thing.
Yeah. Another little tease.
So.
All right, cool.
All right, thank you guys for calling in. I'll talk to y'all later.
Enjoyed it.
Right. Thanks, on. Guys. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.